There's a reason Sergio Gonzalez is the best fantasy basketball writer in the world. He gave me good advice, and I didn't follow it, and now I could lose my week as a result.
Seriously, stop with that stuff.
Stop with what stuff?
I don't know. I don't like it.
Sergio doesn't like when I say that he's the best fantasy basketball writer in the world.
I don't.
But he is.
That's the only reason he says it.
But he is, and that's why I give him credit for it, and it's well-deserved on his part. Anyway, this is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast here at CBSSports.com, the only place to get your basketball knowledge because we give it to you better than anybody else. I'm Jamie Eisenberg, there's Sergio Gonzalez, and we are so full of ourselves here at fantasynews.cbsports.com and cbsports.com. I don't know how you contain yourselves by listening to us. In any event, Sergio told me this week that I should have started Darren Collison over Beno Udrich. It's an average league, so you get it doesn't really matter how many games you play. It just matters how many points that they average, fantasy points that they average. And I said, well, you know, they only got two games, and one of them is against the Lakers. And Sergio said, all right, maybe go with Beno Udrich.
You talked me out of it.
And what happens? Darren Collison, not a Brandon Jennings type game.
No, he had 20 points, 5 assists, and 2 rebounds.
It was a good enough game that I should have listened. Not that Beno Udrich was horrible, but we'll see if he can make it up. In any event, this is why you should listen to Sergio. You should read all of his stuff, and you should follow all of his advice. Let's get to the biggest news of the week. Allen Iverson signs with the Sixers. No surprise there. We talked about this. It was a move that was imminent. And now you're going to see the fallout as a result of what happens, because we know Jrue Holiday goes back to the bench. We know Lou Williams is still out for...
Well, not necessarily. Jrue Holiday doesn't necessarily go back to the bench. They could choose...
They've already said Iverson starting.
Yeah, but they could choose to start Iverson at the 2 and Holiday. This is all stuff that they're still thinking about. It's highly possible and more than likely that he'll start a point guard, not shooting guard. But it is possible that Jrue Holiday can remain in the starting lineup. With that said, his fantasy...
So who goes to the bench then?
They could move Iguodala over to small forward.
And then bench Thaddeus Young?
Then they'd probably bench Thaddeus Young.
They're not benching Thaddeus Young.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's probably going to be Jrue Holiday, but it's not determined yet.
Jrue Holiday goes to the bench, and Allen Iverson starts for the Sixers with what makes them now, I think, a very explosive offense. Not that Lou Williams was any sort of slouch in terms of the scoring department, but this team hasn't been healthy for a significant stretch of games. I mean, they've had moments. They've had moments where Elton Brand was losing minutes to Maurice Spates. They've had moments where Lou Williams has not... Lou Williams breaks his jaw, you know, so you don't have him.
Right.
Samuel Dallenberg's been up and down. Iguodala, you know, he's continues to sort of be the mainstay there. And Thaddeus Young has played well. But it's going to be interesting to see how this affects the rest of the team, because I think you'll see Iguodala lose some shots. You'll see Thaddeus Young lose some production. Elton Brand will lose some production. Where would you rank Allen Iverson in terms of a fantasy guard? Is he a number one? Is he a number two? Is he a number three? What do you do as of week, was it week 7?
Yeah, week 7.
What do you do as of week 7?
I'm recommending going into week 7 that if you can afford it, obviously nobody's been relying on Allen Iverson to this point of the season. It's a 3-game week for the Philadelphia 76ers, so it's not like you have to rush and go ahead and start Allen Iverson right away. I would actually recommend just watching and observing this first week to see how the things shake out in Philadelphia in terms of their rotation. Obviously, the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers took this risk means that they are willing to give him a big role, because obviously we know Allen Iverson has griped in the past with Detroit, with Memphis. Part of the reason why he decided to retire is that he didn't want to play a secondary role anymore. So the two sides met before agreeing to go ahead with this project, and obviously that's something that was probably discussed. They're not going to bring him along to just give him 25 minutes per game like he was getting in Memphis. He's going to get some minutes. He's going to get shot attempts. And the fact that he's back in Philadelphia, it's also interesting in his first week back, his first 2 games are against Denver and Detroit.
Big points.
He's definitely going to be playing with a big chip on his shoulder.
Right, you start him.
Right out of the gate. I don't. I can see the case for going ahead and activating him right away. I just would rather let it play out first to see exactly how he's going to fit in. But you can absolutely go ahead and plug him in.
I'm going to throw some names at you, because these are guys that have been replacement players for a lot of fantasy owners because of injuries or just because they've been hot commodities off the waiver wire. So you've been playing them as number three or number four options, depending on how deep your league is.
Mm-hmm.
Beno Udrich or Allen Iverson in week seven? I know you don't have the matchup necessarily studied full go.
I would start Allen Iverson, but that's because I also think in the case of Beno Udrich specifically, he's starting to lose some minutes there to Sergio Rodriguez and stuff like that. There are other circumstances that go into that decision.
Dante Jones or Allen Iverson?
Dante had a good game in his last game. The presence of Dunleavy there, Iverson.
Dunleavy or Iverson?
Dunleavy is being limited in terms of his minutes. Iverson, I don't think at this time there's no indication that he'll be limited, even though he missed some time. I'd go Iverson.
Would you consider Iverson over Aaron Brooks?
Iverson over Aaron Brooks? No. No, I'd go Aaron Brooks.
Would you consider Iverson over Eric Gordon if he's able to return following this recent injury?
Right. Depending if he's clear to go, I go Eric Gordon.
Iverson or... You're not going to bench Russell Westbrook for Iverson. Iverson or Johnny Flynn?
I love Minnesota's matchups next week. I do know that. They have the best matchups in the NBA next week. So I'm going Johnny Flynn.
All right. I'm going to write this down.
All right.
What do you want to bet? Lunch?
Sure.
All right.
That's Jamie's currency of choice.
Allen Iverson versus Johnny Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy points.
Yep. So we're going, because you realize Flynn has four games. Iverson has three.
All right.
You want to go averages?
No. I'll go straight up.
All right. Wait. Look at that.
All right. There you go. You've heard
last time this happened, poor Eric Dampier almost died.
Be careful,
so
Johnny
be careful,
Flynn.
Johnny Flynn.
Ramon Sessions or Allen Iverson?
Sessions is creeping up.
Come on.
I am actually going to recommend Sessions as a sleeper start this week.
Can I change my bet to AI versus Ramon?
No,
Sessions?
No. I'm not taking that one. I'll tell you what. Right now, because of the extra game, I'd actually go Sessions.
You'd go Sessions over Iverson?
I'd go Sessions over Iverson in a cumulative league.
Corey Brewer over Allen Iverson?
Yeah, I really do like Minnesota's matchups.
Man. Wow.
I really like Minnesota's matchups.
What are they playing? The Washington Generals?
More or less.
Man. All right. Mike Conley or Allen Iverson?
Allen Iverson. Come on. I know where you're going with that one.
Let's see here. Will Bynum or Allen Iverson?
Will Bynum. Provided that...
Can I change my bet?
No. All these guys I have to put up against. No, I would... No, I'd still go Will Bynum.
Will Bynum over Allen Iverson?
Yes.
All right, we're changing the bet.
Just 1 week.
You're taking Will
this
Bynum.
This is one
now.
Week.
You don't get Johnny Flynn anymore. You now have Will Bynum.
Oh, boy.
I'll give you both. Wow. So you would start Will Bynum over Allen Iverson
Will
for 1 week.
Will Bynum over Allen Iverson just for this week.
I get this week. I understand the framework of what we're talking about
right.
here. But you would still start him over Allen Iverson against Denver and Detroit.
Bynum's had some great games. He's had some great games.
All right. I mean, I know I'm taking the guy that's just walking off the street, but...
Yeah.
Whew. Man. Courtney Lee or Allen Iverson?
Courtney Lee's a bum right now. I'd go Allen Iverson.
Okay. Obviously, Chris Douglas Roberts, I would start over him, and Devin Harris is a no-brainer. Nick Young or Allen Iverson?
Nick Young.
What?
Nick Young.
All right. I'll give you Nick Young, too. Man. Sergio's crazy. Luke Ridnour or Allen Iverson?
Michael, depending on the Michael Redd situation.
Assuming Redd's out.
Absolutely. Luke Ridnour. Absolutely. Have you seen his lines with Michael Redd out? He's been outstanding.
All right. I have to make sure this is Will Bynum, not Andrew Bynum. let's see here as I just rummage through this list of garbage that Sergio seems to love. Tony Douglas or Allen Iverson?
No. I'd go Allen Iverson.
Jason Williams for the Magic or Allen Iverson?
I would go, let's see, Orlando has three games. Philadelphia has three games. Allen Iverson.
Boy.
It could take a while for AI to get going. And let's not forget that AI, he was averaging 13 points per game with Memphis. So it's not like he was.
Unless he shows up. Now, I'm going to give myself a caveat here. If he shows up at 300 pounds, I'll give you Allen Iverson. If he I'll give you the other guys over Allen Iverson. If he shows up ready to play, he's going to put on a show. First of all, he's going back to Philly. Second of all, the two teams of the three that you mentioned.
Detroit.
Third of all, there's a need for him. It's not like Memphis where they had somebody in front of him. There's nobody in front of him right now. He walks on the court. He's 100 times better than Drew Holiday right now. Drew Holiday is 19 years old. His future's in front of him. Allen Iverson at 34, presumably in game shape, is going to put up 20 points a night.
He was retired.
He was retired.
He was retired.
He was on a leave. He wasn't retired.
He was retired.
Yeah. Did you see his retirement statement?
Yeah.
Exactly. Anthony Parker or Allen Iverson?
Anthony Parker or Allen Iverson.
And finally, we'll go to the last pile of poo that Sergio likes. Let's see here. Marco Bellinelli or Allen Iverson?
Toronto has four games. Nah, I'm stuck.
The fact that you All right,
Toronto
so
has four games. Philadelphia has, but I'm still going to go Allen Iverson.
Sergio has Allen Iverson somewhere in between this list of Will Bynum, Johnny Flynn, Nick Young, Luke Ridenour. He's after all these guys, and he falls somewhere in this.
Give me back.
He falls somewhere in this list after these four guys and ahead of Jason Williams, Tony Douglas, and Marco Bellinelli. So Sergio says don't start Allen Iverson in any leagues.
Give me Will Bynum back. I'll give you Allen Iverson over Will Bynum.
You sure now?
Yes, I'm sure.
You
Detroit,
sure?
Detroit has three games.
You sure?
Yes.
All right. So you're taking Johnny Flynn,
yes.
Nick Young, and Luke Ridenour.
No, wait. Washington has two games. So,
All right. So we're back to Johnny Flynn versus...
Johnny Flynn.
I'll take Ridenour off the list, too, because when Michael Redd comes back, you automatically
what
are
do you
adult.
Call what do you call this backpedaling? Is this the Dave Richard?
This is the Dave Richard.
All right.
All right. So this is Allen Iverson versus Johnny Flynn for the upcoming scoring period. Whoever does better, Sergio buys me lunch. let's talk about some of these guys. All right. So, let's finish up Philadelphia. Iguodala is still a must start. Elton Brand, I think, is a number three forward at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's up and down. Thaddeus Young is same thing, on the cusp of a 2-3, depending on your format and what you look at, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that, for the most part, doesn't change.
And you can release...
The player who's going to be most affected is Lou Williams once he does return. Obviously, if things work out and Allen Iverson is who you seem to think he is and who Allen Iverson still seems to think he is, then it's really bad news for Lou Williams, who's having a breakout season, so it's kind of a shame for...
Well, we'll see.
Him.
This may also force him to get back on the court sooner so that Iverson doesn't establish himself in that go-to role. And as you mentioned, they wouldn't hesitate to maybe play both those guys in the backcourt as starters.
Yeah, I could see that.
And let's also keep in mind that Lou Williams made his early part of his career as the sixth man for the Sixers when they had Andre Miller.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Hawks have continually put out good fantasy options, but what do you do about Bibby and Crawford at this point?
Yeah, right now they're cutting into each other's value way too much. They can still be useful as low-end starters, meaning more number three options than they have been number two options throughout their career.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you have to play the matchups and hope that they're playing favorable opponents. Otherwise, you're going to see a lot of inconsistency. Even in a game, I think it was last night, where the Hawks scored, I think, 146 points.
Yep.
Neither one of them had a big game. So right now they're just cutting into each other's value way too much to trust them in fantasy leagues.
Allen Iverson or one of those two guys?
Next week? Atlanta, three games. Iverson.
Wow. All right. He's stepped up now.
Yeah.
At least we have some names of value here.
Backpedaling.
Is Grant Hill's time as a fantasy starter run its course?
His time as a fantasy starter, not necessarily. His time as a must start, which the way he started this season.
That's what I mean.
He'd actually been a must start. He's back to being a matchup-based starter, which is more or less what he was expected to be at the beginning of the year. The first 3 weeks or so, that was gravy on top. Nobody was expecting this to continue for the entire course of the season.
The Suns can't win on the road. It's amazing. They lose to the Knicks and they lose to the Cavaliers. I think you would expect them to go 1-1 in those two games.
They couldn't score against the Knicks.
Yeah, which is surprising.
Amazing.
Speaking of the Knicks, they lose to Orlando on Wednesday night. Similar situation because Nate Robinson was benched in this game. What do you do with some of the guys in their backcourt? Larry Hughes, Chris Duhon, Tony Douglas, Nate Robinson. Rank those guys in order for me.
It's a crapshoot right now. In terms of potential, I'd rank Nate Robinson first overall out of those guys. But in terms of reality right now, because of the way he's in the doghouse there with Mike D'Antoni, I'd say right now it's probably Larry Hughes, Duhon, just because of his role, not because he's doing anything great, then Tony Douglas, then Nate Robinson. Because right now he just can't seem to stay out of Mike D'Antoni's doghouse. He went from scoring 20 points in back-to-back games to playing 11 minutes one night and then getting a complete DNP coach's decision the next night. So clearly things aren't right there, and fantasy owners need to be aware of that, and they can't trust him.
Do you just stash him, or do you cut him?
I continue to think you stash him, because we've already seen, even in spurts this season, that when he does get minutes in that offense and when he is able to stay out of the doghouse for however long, he still puts up fantastic numbers. He can score 20 points per game easy. Like, it's nothing in that offense. It's just a matter of him straightening out the relationship with Coach D'Antoni, doing whatever it takes to get back in his good graces. That may never happen. But the ability that he has to put up those kinds of numbers makes him worth stashing if you can afford to do so.
Is Gallinari a must-start?
I think he's more of a number three option, so depending on the size of your league. In a standard 12-team league, I would say, yeah, he's pretty close to being a must-start.
Yeah, he's just
he's a beast right now. He's the best three-point shooter in the NBA right now. He leads the league in three-point shooting.
Unbelievable. The Orlando Magic continue to have several stars put up big points, but is Mikal Pietrus somebody to consider?
Mikal Pietrus is...
Or is he just a reserve that you can use?
Yeah, I think he's a matchup-based starter. I think right now he's on a decent run. Would you trust him in your lineup long-term? I wouldn't recommend it. I think he's a player that when he's going through moments like this, when he's having good games and he faces good matchups, you plug him in there, but I wouldn't recommend starting him long-term.
We're seeing a rebirth of sorts for Hakeem Warrick. Do you run out and pick him up?
No, the return of Andrew Bogut kind of stifles any kind of extended run he could go on. It's kind of back and forth between him and Ersan Ilyasova, who since the return of Bogut, they've kind of flip-flopped. One has had a big game one night, the next it's been the other player. I think had Bogut been out longer, as it was expected he would be, there could have been a bit of an extended run for Warrick along with Ilyasova, but with Bogut back, I think that's over.
You mentioned Nick Young, who's been playing well. Is he worth adding as a guard? And is Stevenson's time as a relevant, not that he was ever a good fantasy option, but as a quality player for the Wizards, are they going to go with Young long-term as a starting two guard there?
Yeah, it looks like Young is the guy, at least while Mike Miller's out. Once Mike Miller returns, I think Nick Young goes back to being an afterthought. Right before the injury to Mike Miller, he was actually a player that had been deactivated based off of roster needs for the Washington Wizards. So clearly that's where he was before. And I think once Mike Miller gets back, that's probably more or less what he'll return to. In the meantime, you can get some use out of him in head-to-head leagues, not so much in category-based play because he doesn't do much outside of scoring, but we're seeing that he could score around 15 to 20 points per game depending on the shot attempts and the opponent that he faces.
Are we done with Drew Gooden as a good fantasy option?
Not so much as a... He could still
Relevant
be useful.
Fantasy option.
He could still be useful, especially in those leagues where he's eligible at center. I think we're done seeing the consistent double-doubles that he was putting up when Eric Dampier was ill, obviously. But we saw even in Eric Dampier's first game back, he still, I think in that game, he managed a double-double. The next game, Dampier had a big game, and Drew Gooden didn't. So I think we're going to see that from the both of them, where one night's going to be one guy, the next night's going to be the other guy. Dallas has the option of basically riding the hot hand, and whoever is having a better night that night, whoever stays out of foul trouble is going to have the good game. So I think fantasy owners have to still consider him a viable option in those leagues where he's eligible at center because he can give you those occasional big games, but the days where he can give you that night in, night out, those are done.
Would you say go out and pick up Yi Jianlian at this point because of his return?
Yeah, I think Yi Jianlian, we talked about it going into the season. New Jersey, who still doesn't have a win this season, they don't have many established go-to options. Really, it's been Devin Harris when healthy. It's been Brook Lopez and then Chris Douglas-Roberts in the middle, and then it's been sporadic play from Terrence Williams and players like that. So I think there's room for Yi Jianlian to to develop a significant role. And he's a player that clearly the team thinks highly of, having traded Richard Jefferson for him last year, and they want to get something out of him. So they're going to give him a chance to succeed here.
Is Luol Deng the biggest fantasy surprise so far this year of established veterans who have come back?
Deng, he's been, I think right now he's the leading candidate for most improved player.
Most improved or comeback?
Or I think in the NBA it's called most improved. I'm pretty sure it's most improved.
Whatever the category.
Right. For that award, I think he's clearly the front runner for that. He had a down year last year, but really it was because he was injured.
Sure.
Before that, he'd been a fantasy stud, and fantasy owners just kind of wrote him off this year because of the one down year. But sometimes you can't write players off just because they have a bad year due to being banged up. And he's just right back to the production that he was 2 years ago. So this isn't that much of a surprise. It's good to see him get back into health, and where I will say it's a little surprising is that he's doing this with John Salmons there, and Salmons wasn't there the last time he was productive. So that's that.
Well, Ben Gordon was, so that's where
He was, right. That's where he was able to recoup that. But no, this is what Luol Deng has been for the most part since he's been a breakout player. I think fantasy owners should expect this from him as long as he stays healthy.
You say that you like Ramon Sessions as a sleeper coming into the next scoring period. What's the deal between Sessions and Flynn? Is it they're similar to the Atlanta situation that they're going to cut into each other's time, or is it can both guys be successful individually?
Right now, it seems to be that the Timberwolves want to give Flynn a little bit of breathing room, and they're going to let him grow at their pace, not so much at the pace that Flynn would like to. It's interesting because when the team signed Ramon Sessions in the offseason, it was supposed to be so he could kind of babysit Johnny Flynn, but also he was supposed to play alongside him and kind of take the pressure off even playing alongside him. Right now, it does seem that it's either or and not them playing alongside each other. Ramon Sessions is a very talented player, and we've said this in the past. If he gets the minutes from Flynn, then all of a sudden he's going to become a great player like he was towards the second half last season in Milwaukee, and really any time he's gotten significant minutes at the NBA level.
The situation in Indiana, you touched on a little bit with Dunleavy. His minutes are going to be limited. Do you think at some point in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, does he become a starting fantasy option?
Yeah, I think the trading wheels are going to come off slowly. Right now they're keeping him around 20 minutes per game, and we're seeing even in that limited playing time that he's been able to put up decent numbers. Obviously, while he's getting 20 minutes per game, that's going to lead to inconsistent results. We've seen that already, where he had 13 points one night, 4 points the next night, and then 22 points the next night. Clearly, when you're playing that limited playing time, limited amount of minutes, you're not going to be able to put up consistent numbers, but the ability is clearly still there. So as the training wheels come off, he's going to return to being a go-to guy in that offense.
What do you like about the scenario in Houston with some of these guys just coming in and out of the lineups? Is it just really Brooks and Ariza and maybe at times Landry? Or is there other guys? I'm sorry, Scola.
Right.
Brooks, Ariza, Scola, and at times Landry.
Right.
Can you get any sort of production from guys like Battier and Hayes and Lowry and sometimes Budinger? I mean, any of these guys worth using?
They are worth using in deeper leagues, but they're far too inconsistent to use in a standard league. In weeks where the Houston Rockets are playing 4 games and you say you're in a cumulative league and you're looking for a stopgap, if one of those guys is available off the waiver wire, they have the upside to turn in some of these lines that they're turning in from time to time. They just don't have the role to do it on a consistent basis. They are fantasy viable options. They're just not regular starters. That's all.
Yeah, you touched on this briefly also. The situation in Sacramento at the point guard spot between Udrich and Sergio Rodriguez. We know Udrich has sort of been a decent fill-in option with Kevin Martin being hurt because Tyreek Evans has really done a stand-up job, but Udrich has seen extra minutes. Tell me what's the deal with those two guys, and then what happens when Kevin Martin returns?
It just seems that Sergio Rodriguez is creeping up behind Beno Udrich and just kind of developing he's carving out a niche for himself off the bench. And sometimes we've seen situations like that where players like that pick up steam and all of a sudden they bypass a player like Beno Udrich, who's in a little bit of a slump. Udrich's been he's been around 12 points per game, 3 assists, and limited production elsewhere the last 5 games or so. He hasn't been anything spectacular. And if a team like Sacramento, who's looking for any kind of a spark, if they can get something out of Sergio Rodriguez, then I can see him being maybe not inserted into the starting lineup, but taking a lot of Beno Udrych's minutes.
We're not going to see Blake Griffin until when?
We're not going to see Blake Griffin until 2010. He was supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks. As fantasy owners know, this is week six, so this is the first chance he was going to have to return. He clearly isn't returning this week, and Coach Mike Dunleavy said he doesn't expect to see him back until after the new year. So fantasy owners, you're probably going to be without him for at least another month.
What do we do with Kevin Love?
Kevin Love is going to be back probably Friday night, if not Friday. He's going to be back on Saturday, so you're going to get a chance. If you're in a weekly format, you're going to get a chance to see him play one game before deciding what to do with him in week seven. But like I said, the Timberwolves have some great matchups in week seven. So if he looks like he's ready to play even 20, 25 minutes per game, especially in those leagues where he's eligible at center, you're going to want to plug him in right away.
What are you working on right now?
Right now I am working on the planner, the week seven planner. And this over the weekend, obviously, the start and sit. And I just submitted a take on the whole Allen Iverson situation. That's going to be up on Thursday afternoon. Probably by the time this podcast gets out there, it'll probably be out already. And check those things out.
There you go. There's Sergio plugging his story, so I don't have to do it, saving me a few seconds of talking. In any event, check out everything Sergio is doing, fantasynews.cbssports.com and cbssports.com. We have a couple emails to get through quickly. Again, the email address is dmfantasyhoops at cbs.com. That's dmfantasyhoops at cbs.com. First email comes to us from Jason in Melbourne, Australia.
He is the one that corrected.
Yes, Sergio. Jason is the one that made me feel like I was 2 inches tall.
From all the way across the other side of the world.
What's your thought on Yi, seeing as Udrych will be replaced by Kevin Martin, or even could lose out to Sergio Rodriguez and or Dante Green? Does Yi hold greater value going forward, as he's somewhat guaranteed a starting spot in New Jersey? I believe he's on the way back soon. What does he say? Is Jamie feeling all right? For some reason, he let you off the hook today. He's obviously feeling charitable. I don't know what that
must
means.
Be from the other podcast.
Yes. As we talked about, I think Yi has value to pick him up, as Sergio said, and we just broke down the whole Sacramento.
Yeah, I think we did that without even trying.
There you go. Next email comes to us from James, does not say where. We always like when you put your city in, so please include that in your emails. But James writes, I have the following players on the waiver wire, and I was wondering if any of them are worth picking up. Dunleavy, Hibbert, Chris, the Birdman, Anderson, and Samuel Dalembert. He says he's thinking of picking him up because he needs some blocks because he's low. He loves the podcast and wish it came out more. Keep up the good work. And he corrects us on our email.
He corrects Jamie.
I think you can't go wrong with either Anderson or Dalembert because of the blocks.
If he needs blocks, then yeah.
Anderson's probably
a better option to pick up if he needs blocks. But out of those four that he gave,
Dunleavy
has the highest upside by far.
Yes, Sergio copied this email twice. He must have liked it. Next email comes to us from Matt in Virginia. Hey, guys, does AI signing mean Lou Williams is droppable in 10-team leagues? Even if he comes back and starts, he's going to have AI breathing down his neck for playing time. Lou had been fantastic before the injury, but you have to think that his numbers take a significant hit with AI there. Maybe back to the 12 to 15-point range with 3 assists instead of the 17.5 and 5 he had been averaging. He has been playing 11-plus more minutes than he had in previous years, and though his shooting percentage and rebounding rates are up this year, you have to think he's going to see reduced playing time once he returns. Most of the stories I read are all about AI, but I'm interested in knowing the spin on the other side of the story.
I'm going to say take the next week to see if this project still has the possibility of Allen Iverson falling flat on his face and being a failure.
Sure.
So don't get too down on Lou Williams just yet, because the Sixers gave themselves an out clause in that they didn't give Allen Iverson a guaranteed contract. They could cut him loose at just about any time. That's not to say that that's going to happen, but you're going to feel pretty bad if that does happen and you let Lou Williams go for basically nothing.
Sure.
So he's pretty close to being droppable. Let's put it that way. But
really?
Yeah, he's in that scenario where it's a 10-team league. He's pretty close to being droppable.
Wow.
In a standard 12-team league, like Jamie talked about earlier, he still has the chance of emerging alongside Allen Iverson, but is he going to put up 17 points per game along Allen Iverson? Probably not. He's probably going to go back to the 13, 14 points per game he averaged last year. And in a 10-team league, that might not be enough. So in this particular format, he's pretty close to being droppable, but wait and see how this shakes out before you do that.
And our last email comes to us from Steven. He says, after dropping the ball and picking up AI, Aaron Brooks is available on waivers. Should I drop Stuckey for Aaron Brooks? I say yes.
Drop Stuckey for Aaron Brooks? Yeah. I like Aaron Brooks. The situation with Stuckey right now is that he's doing all this without Richard Hamilton or Tayshaun Prince healthy. There's no clear timetable on when either of those two guys are going to return, but they are going to return. Aaron Brooks is kind of in a similar situation with Tracy McGrady possibly coming back at some point, but I think Aaron Brooks maintains his value more so than Stuckey will once those guys get back.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Again, the email address, dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com, dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. Check out fantasynews.cbsports.com and cbssports.com. For Adam Azer, our great podcast producer, as well as Aaron Brown and Sergio, the best fantasy basketball writer in the history of the world, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.